me.
I'll fix it later. Okay. So let's pray.
Yeah.
Lord God, we come before you and place Greg into your loving care in your hands. Lord, the message that you've given him burns in his heart. Lord, we pray that as he articulates that, that you, Holy Spirit, would burn with each word into our hearts and that we receive the messages from you, Lord God, and we allow it to transform us from glory to glory. Anoint him, Lord, with strength and wisdom and clear speech in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Give him wisdom as he ministers. We thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jill. Thank you. Okay, well, I can hear me. I guess you can hear me okay? Very good. Okay. All right. Ready, Bron? There we go. Okay. God loves you. Can't get much simpler than that, huh? So, you know, have you ever thought about how much God loves you? Boy, I have been thinking about that a lot recently. And I suppose that's why I'm a pretty happy person most of the time, because I think about how much God loves me. I think about it often. That's just a habit I've gotten into. And, you know, when I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, as soon as my, you know, thoughts come back to the living world, I'll just tell myself, God loves me. God loves me. I remind myself of that. And if any negative thoughts come in or thoughts that would put me off of that, I just kind of put them aside and tell myself, God loves me. I get back to that. In the evening when I go to sleep, when I lay down to go to bed, the last thing before I fall asleep, I'll tell myself, God loves me. God loves me. All right. And during the day, if I'm out, you know, out and about doing the business of life, if I'm in the gym when I'm doing my workout, you know, doing my curls with those 50-pound dumbbells, would you believe 5-pound dumbbells? That's more like it. But people I know, I just sit there and I'll be smiling because I'll be thinking about God's love for me. And I thought people will probably look at me and say, what's he on? And if they ever ask me, I just tell them, well, I'm on Jesus. I'm on Jesus. I'm right on him. So a few weeks ago, I know Pastor Phil was talking, and he said, focus your thoughts on the love of God. Focus your thoughts on the love of God. That's a really, really good thing to do. The Bible, I found out, actually encourages us to do that. I was reading a Psalm 107, a few weeks ago, and I came to the end of the Psalm 107, and let's see, we should have it up there. Psalm 107? Okay. Well, anyway, it finishes with, consider the great love of God. Consider the great love of God, Psalm 107. And, no. Okay. Lord, we just pray for those people back there that you'll anoint them and get them to the right place. There we go. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Some of the verses say, let them consider the great love of God. And that's a really good thing for us to do. To consider something means to think about it deeply, to mull it over in your mind. You know, to consider something means to deliberately focus your attention upon something. And, you know, it takes a little bit of mind effort to do that. But it's something we all will benefit by learning to do, to spend time thinking about God's great love for us and being purposeful in doing that. You know, you don't have to think about every thought that comes into your mind. I remember years ago when I thought, well, whatever I think about, I think about it. You can train your mind to think about the important things, the true things. You know, somebody once said that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair, right? And there's some thoughts that we just need to not let be, you know, built in our minds. We can come against them, and thinking about God's great love for us is a tremendous weapon. So today I want to share with you a few thoughts about God's great love for us. And, you know, we're not going to get very far into this because God's love for us is so immense. It is just so immense. But I hope today you can just capture something of his great love. If you do, you will be very rewarded. And first, I do that, you know, give this disclaimer. You know, my words cannot begin to convey the extent of God's great love for us. It just, you know, goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, he tells us in his word that his love for us, it's steadfast, it's enduring, it's holy, it's, you know, it's unending, it's perfect in every way. We can spend the rest of our lives, which we probably should do, thinking about God's great love for us, and we will be so blessed if we do. So, you know, trying to get a sense of the immensity of God's love, it's like trying to, you know, count how many drops of water there are in the ocean, or trying to, you know, imagine how many trillions and billions of stars there are in the heavens. His love is just so extensive. And, you know, I think there's an old hymn. You may remember some of the words of it. And I think maybe it sums it up best. This old hymn says, "His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he what? He giveth and giveth and giveth again." Right? God is continually pouring his love into us. But we have to believe it to receive it. It's always coming towards us, but we do have to make the faith decision to believe it, to receive it. So, you know, how much of God's love you have in your heart, it also depends on your perception of who God is. How do you see God? You know, if you see God as distant and far off, then you know, you'll have a very limited view of his love for you. You know, if you see God as you know, somebody who's, you know, looking over your shoulder, waiting for you to make a mistake so he can, you know, whack you or something like that, you'll have a very strangled understanding of God's love. But, you know, if you see God for who he really is, you know, a loving father, you know, who cares for you so much, you know, a father who's just waiting to pour out his blessings on you, which is truly who God is, you know, your experience of God's love will grow and grow and grow in your heart, and his love will become your greatest treasure. His love for you will become the greatest treasure that you have. So, you know, I found that to be the course of my life, my life journey when I think back on it. You know, over the years of growing into an understanding of how much God loves me, you know, nothing has transformed me more than that, just growing and believing and experiencing his love. And when I was young, I was raised in a faith that, you know, I perceived God as being someone who was out to get me. And I just never really could understand his love. And as I grew into young adulthood, I thought that, you know, well, God was there. I became apathetic. I believed there was a God, but he was just somewhere out there. And, you know, I would go to church and I would stand in the back and not pay much attention to things. And because he was just so far out there, his love really didn't affect me. But when I met Jesus, when I met the real Jesus, you know, when I was born again, and people sometimes mock that expression today, but it's a biblical expression. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must accept Christ into your heart. And when I do that, when I did that and came to meet Christ personally, you know, it just made all the difference in the world as to me seeing who he really was and how much love he had for me. The book of 1 John says it very simply. It says, God is love. God is love. At the center of God's character, you know, in the essence of his being, God is love. And he wants to pour out his love on all people. You know, I think what helped me to understand that most and to grow in that was to start reading the Bible, to start reading the scriptures. You know, after I was saved, born again, I started reading the Bible. I always had an interest in the Bible. Even as a little kid, I would try to read it, and I couldn't understand it. But after I was saved, I started reading the Bible, and it just came to life for me. And I said, wow, look at this. I would stop sometimes and just say, I can't believe what it says in here. It's just God's love letter to me. That's what it is. It's just love all over the place. And I remember my wife, we were saved about the same time. She would run around the house. And she'd say, look at this. Look at what it says. Look at what it says here. God loves us so much. And we were just drenched in his love from reading the Word of God. So, you know, when you read the Word of God, when you read the Bible, when you get it out and read it each day, which we all should have some time reading the Bible each day, you know, read it with that focus. You know, open the Bible and say, Lord, help me to see your love for me in this book today. You know, transfer your love to me today as you read it. It's a great way to read the Bible with that focus. Now, there's a starting point. I believe there's a starting point in considering, you know, the love of God. And I want to say that this starting point is probably the most important thing I need to say today, right? And it's a precious truth. It's a very simple truth. Don't overlook it because of its simplicity. The truth is this. The desire of God's heart is for you to know how much he loves you. The desire of God's heart is for you to know how much he loves you, all right? That's the starting point into growing into a greater measure of experiencing his love. You see, that the starting point doesn't start with us. It never starts with us. God loved us first. He loved us when we were yet sinners. It always starts with God. And we need to deeply believe this truth, that it's the desire of God's heart, that it's his will as our Holy Father, that we know how much he loves us, and that we grow in that, and it's all from grace. It's all from grace. You know, it's not a performance thing. You can't earn it. You know, he loves you as much when you're obeying him and doing well as when you're sinning and going the wrong way. His love for you is constant, right? And you know, just take that truth and live in it. Just dwell on it. It'll transform you and deepen your relationship with him. You know, you can pray for it, and we should pray for it. You know, we should pray, Lord, you know, I believe that it is the desire of your will for me to know how much you love me. Lord, open up my mind, open my heart, so I will just see more of your love, so I will understand the great depth of love you have for me. So it's really what Paul says in his great prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to put that up, Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, listen to this verse. Paul says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, help us, Lord, to grasp how much you love us. You know, you see the word rooted in this verse, and you being rooted and established in love. You know, we are rooted into the love of Jesus. It's very important what your root system goes down into. And our roots go right down into the love that God has for us. Now, if you can, you know, picture yourself as a plant. That's not too hard for me because I garden a lot. But, you know, think of yourself as a plant and your roots going down into the immensity of love that Jesus has for you. You know, he holds you in his love. He nourishes you in his love. You thrive because of his love. The root system of the Christian life is the love of God. That's our root system. You know, through his salvation, his loving gift to us, our roots are planted into the soil of his love. You know, so really the question to us, you know, becomes, are you grasping how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for you? the verse also tells us, it says that it's the love that surpasses knowledge. You know, his love surpasses knowledge. It's not just, that means it's not just to be head knowledge. We're not just to have a head knowledge, but it's to become an experiential knowledge. We're to experience the love of God. We're to have an experience of that, growing in his love. And we have a part to play in that. We have a role to play in that, because we are to reciprocate God's love back to him, right? It's not a one-way thing, but he loves us, and we're to respond to his love, and by loving him in return. Love becomes greater when it's reciprocated. The body of love becomes much greater. You know, he loves us first, and we return his love to him. And that beautiful thing is we just experience so much more of God's love when we respond to his love. And I was thinking about Linda and I. Linda and I, we just celebrated our 49th wedding anniversary a few weeks ago. And thank you. Yeah, such a blessing. And, before we were married, I believed that Linda loved me, because she would tell me. She would say, I love you. And she also said, when are you going to marry me? But that happened. So. But I knew she really loved me, because she would tell me. But 49 years later, I have an experience of her love. It's much more than head knowledge, because of the caring and the deferring and, living together and working through things. It's become, our experience is a love experience. And for some of us, we need to respond to God and develop that experiential way of loving him. Some of us need to probably sing a little louder and raise our hands when we praise him. Don't be afraid to do that. You can even get a little emotional when you worship the Lord. It doesn't have to be a staid thing. And I know we're in a church where a good number of people know how to worship the Lord with power and strength, and put their emotions into it also. I needed to learn that, because I tend to be not too overly emotional, and I really never trusted my emotions very much. But I've learned that I can be emotional with God. I can let that side of me come out, and I can trust him and love him in that way, with my heart and my soul and my spirit. It's a beautiful thing, that divine partnership we have as we extend our love to God. I thought about this too. What I noticed about my grandchildren, it's the little ones that aren't afraid to show their emotions. It's like when the little grandkids come over to me, like the 4 and 5 year olds, it's, Pop-Pop, hey Pop-Pop, I'm so glad you're here, Pop-Pop, and they run over and they hug me around the knees, and it's just a great thing. They're not shy about showing their emotions. The older grandkids, the teenagers, like, hello grandfather, how are you? Get out of here, give me a hug, will you? Come on. It's like, but it's just the way, we can benefit becoming more childlike in our love for God. Like, I don't know about that last song that Liz did today. Oh, what a beautiful song. Sing to the Lord, shout to the Lord. That, as I worship with that song, it always brings tears to my eyes. And I just let them go, because it just, strikes that in my emotions. And I feel it brings me closer to the Lord when I worship him that way. So, don't be afraid to use your emotions in worshiping God. Jesus loves you. And, do you think about that? And do you enjoy it? Those three words, God loves me, are probably the most important words that anybody can tell themselves. So receive it. There's no one who loves you as much as Jesus does. And there is nothing as important as knowing how much Jesus loves you. Knowing that is the root that nourishes our lives. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be filled with the experience of the love of God. He wants us to be filled, wide and high and deep and long is the love of God for us. You know, there's a lot of practical outworkings of God's love in our life that I could go into today, but I didn't want to. You know, I mean, the way the Lord loves us, for salvation, through his presence with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. His guidance of our lives, his help for us, his care for us. You know, we call on his name, he directs us. It's just, you know, all the specifics you can go into, but I didn't want to go into the specifics today. Just the blanket concept of the fact that God loves us. We're going to take a look at a video, and it's called A Father's Love Letter to You. I just think it's so well done. So just sit back and hopefully it's going to play okay for us, and just soak in the love of God for a while. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your great, great love for us. And help us to be ever mindful of it. Help us to ever grow deeper and deeper and deeper into an understanding and an experience of your love for us. Lord, I pray that you would remove any boundaries here today or any blockages here today to keep people from seeing your love, to keep us from moving on into greater depths of your love. Amen. Amen. Go and tell yourself often that God loves me. Tell yourself that often, all right? And if anybody would like prayer this morning, come on up afterwards. We'll dismiss in a second. And if anybody is here today who doesn't know that true love of God, if you're in any way distanced from him and you want to know that love, then you come up too, especially you, and we'll pray for you. So God bless. Have a great day. God loves you.